And if you would take your Bibles and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to have two passages as our text this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning verse number 6. If you take your Bibles, and those of you that can stand with us, and I'll read these several verses, and then we'll have a word of prayer. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 6. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation. See, Paul was used by God to write a whole lot of books in the New Testament. He was just like a pen in God's hands. Just much like this pen would write how I wanted to write. That's what Paul was used by God. And he said, so that I wouldn't be exalted above measure, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. He said it twice there in that verse. And one day while I was reading the text, much like I am this morning, the Lord opened up my understanding to the very fact that Paul realized that the very giving of that thorn was the grace of God. Paul knew that God in His grace gave him that thorn so that he would not become exalted above measure, because that's very dangerous. You know, Herod died because of that. And I'm not saying that when we get exalted by men and we get lifted up and we lift ourselves up and so forth that you're going to die on the spot like Herod did, eaten of worms right there in front of everybody. I'm not saying that's going to happen to you, but I can tell you this, and I promise you, it's dangerous. And Paul knew it. He said, so that I wouldn't be exalted, God gave me in His grace a thorn in the flesh. You ever thought of your thorn in the flesh that way? Well, that's not the message, but God gave me that understanding. For this thing, that thorn in the flesh, I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. And He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecution, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. He didn't say, I pray for them. He didn't say, I pray to be persecuted. He didn't say, I pray for infirmities. I want infirmities. He's not exhorting us to do that this morning, because they come naturally. You don't have to pray to ask for them. They'll be there. I promise you. But He said, when they do come, I take pleasure in them. I realize the importance of them. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 2. Well-known passage of Scripture. Many of you have already memorized these two verses. I know I did as a child. If you've grown up in church, you memorized them. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And before we pray, I just want to read one verse to you, not connected with the message, and not a text that we'll study, but something very important that I want to share with you before you pray. Bible says in Luke 24:45, then opened he their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. Now this was Jesus Christ opening the understanding of the apostles. Those men who had been with Christ, 11 of them at this point, that had been with Him for 3.5 years. They saw it all, they heard it all. And yet they didn't understand the Scriptures yet until Jesus Christ opened their understandings. Now, I don't understand all there is about grace. I am on a journey, and this journey started several years ago. It is a passion with me, and I'm thankful for the opportunity to preach it here. But guess what? I can preach everything I understand about this, and you can still walk out of this room the same way you were when you walked into this room. Unless God, the Holy Spirit, opens your understanding this morning, in reality, it was vain for you to have listened to this message. Because I can't open your understanding. I have illustrations and thoughts that God has given me over the many hours that I've meditated on this. And yet, it still is the Holy Spirit. You know, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 7, consider what I say, Paul said, writing to Timothy. Consider what I say. And that's what I asked this morning. Consider what I say. But, He went on to write, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Now, I don't pretend to be a great preacher, but I have a great message. So you pray with me this morning that God opens your understanding. I'm talking about every one of us in here. Young person, if you can pray and you understand what I'm saying right now, ask God to open your understanding, because I promise you, young person, if you can get this truth now, you will save yourself a lot of trouble in life. Older person, you say, well, you know, Brother Wyatt, I've done a whole lot in my life. I've served the Lord many, many years. But wouldn't you like this morning for Him to open up your understanding a little bit more? Amen. Don't ever get to the point where you think He can't or doesn't want to open up your understanding anymore. He certainly does. And you know what? You may have more peace now in the last years of your life. I mean, I was almost 50 when I understood this. Why wait? God's given you the opportunity. Pastor knows it. No mistake, we're here. No mistake, this is the message. It's a passion God's put in our heart. He knows what I will preach. Now, I'm not like Pastor. He has to give you food every week, several times a week. Different. He goes through God's Word from front to back. That's his responsibility. But guess what? God's given me the opportunity to preach the passion today. Let's pray. Father, I bow before you. Seated. Last Sunday, I started getting this cold. My son's been fighting with it for a while. So let's just pray. My voice is clear enough now. We'll pray that stays the case. Thank the Lord for lapel mics, that we can keep it close enough to where we can save our voice. But I learned several months ago, actually, when I started preaching about this, that it's best if I just line out the points. Now, Pastor told me when you get out, 1 o'clock, he said, if you're not done by 1, that people are going to... No, he didn't say that. so I know I can see the clock back there, and I'll keep up with you. So don't get worried if I spend most of the time on point 1. I'm not telling you that so you can think, well, he's on point 1, he's on point 1, he's on point 1. No, I keep wanting to jump to point 5 while I'm preaching this. And I keep saying, well, point 5, and I want to tell everybody why. So I decided I'll just tell them. There are 5 thoughts that we have this morning about the grace of God. They're not exhaustive, okay? It's not all there is to know about His grace. I don't pretend to know anything really about His grace. I'm learning. My wife and I are excited about listening and reading to reading about this aspect of grace. But we're going to talk about 5 things. Number 1, grace is God's strength. It's literally God's strength. Number 2, grace is always sufficient. Number 3, grace brings salvation and is always accessed by faith. Now, if you've noticed, I began to use words that are absolute. Grace is always sufficient. Grace is always accessed by faith. I say grace is always freely given. It's a gift, number 4. And number 5, grace is the means to an end, always the glory of God. We have a book of absolutes. We live in a world that doesn't understand the word. Absolutes are not common today in the world you and I live in. But we have a book that we can read every day and spend time in every day that is full of absolutes. And the points that we're going to be talking about are absolutes. Things that don't change, we don't decide about them. They're not options with us. The way to be saved is not an option for man to choose or to meddle with in any way. And neither are these other things that we'll talk about the grace of God. But number 1, grace is God's strength. We see in our text there in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. We're talking about a need in Paul's life. And Jesus said to him, Christ said to him, supernaturally, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Paul said, Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. It's a power from on high, Luke 24, 49. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Ephesians 6, 10. Finally, my brethren, I remember the last words of my mother-in-law. I heard them. The last words she ever spoke to anybody, I heard them. Just three words. I won't forget them. I didn't understand them at the time, but I will never forget them. And Paul wrote here, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. We talk about being strong. You know, it's so sad to listen to an unsaved person try to console another unsaved person. That's sad. One person in their own ability to try to comfort somebody else, when in reality, God has made it possible for us to show the comfort of God to them, His power. Paul wrote about this supernatural and enabling, but by the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. And that's where a lot of us stop. But Paul went on under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. It was the very strength of God. I believe physically. I believe mentally, emotionally. I don't know what strength you need today, but listen to me. Your strength is not enough. We'll be talking about that tonight, being weary in well-doing. Not being wearied because of sin in your life. Being weary in well-doing. Excuse me. But Paul realized that it was the grace of God, the very literal strength, supernatural, enabling power from on high. And we need to realize our weakness and need for total dependence on God. Trials and problems are there to do one of two things, reveal to us or to remind us of our weakness and need for total dependence on God, resulting in number five, His glory. That's one reason why Paul, in more than one book, more than one epistle, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wrote, give thanks in all things. We are to give thanks for everything. That's not easy to do. And you won't want to do it in your flesh. But if you understand this very principle that God can get the glory in everything, you can say, thank you for using me through this trial. Through this infirmity, you can get the glory. Goodness. We would love, I remember as a little kid, I liked to please my mom and dad. I would do things for mom and dad without being asked, just so that I could hear mom and dad say, wow, that is really good. You did that. Thanks. I love that. I love that as a teenager. My dad worked hard. And he taught me how to work hard. I hope I taught my boys how to work hard. But I really liked doing things during the summer. When dad was at work, I'm at home, and I could work around the house, and I could do things, and they come home, and, hey, that's really nice. You know, when God gives us these things that come in our lives that we may not particularly like, do you realize it's to His honor and glory, your Father? Now, maybe you didn't have a father that you can say those very same things about. I'm sorry about that. But I'll tell you what, you do have a Father. If you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, that it is worth pleasing. Amen. Worth doing His will. It's like an unconditional surrender to God and His will. True surrender is a conscious decision to do God's will before you even know what His will is. It's not one of these things, I'll go anywhere but, I'll do anything but. It's, I'll do anything. Now what do you want me to do? It's a yielding to Him. It's His strength in us. Grace is God making the decisions. You know, I got to thinking about this one day. If I'm not depending on God, I am depending on an inferior thing, period. If I'm depending on myself, if I'm depending on my intelligence, buddy, that's not good. If I'm depending on my wisdom, my physical strength. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, not that we are sufficient of, in other words, depending on, ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament. We used to have a saying. I'm finding out that not too many people remember it. But I guess where I grew up, and I grew up not too far up the road from here in Elkton for a while, and Newark, and actually I went to Northeast High School here. And I lived on this side of the Amtrak, so they didn't want the school buses going across the tracks, but I lived all the way up close to Elkton up there. And so we had to come all the way down to Northeast, and I grew up just around this area. But we have a saying when I was growing up: if you think you can't, you can or you won't. That's what I heard. If you think you can't, you can't. So think you can. You can't. You know this positive thing, power positive thinking stuff. Now that may have some merit, but let me tell you the truth. If we think we can, God can't. But if we think we can't, God can. Amen. You know, in a relationship with a child, your children, you know, many times you watch your children struggling with something and you know you can help them do it, but they say, I can do it. Remember that? I can do it. Dad, let me do it. Let me do it. So you let them do it and they make a mess of it many times, right? Yeah. Now, this way, that's part of growing up in life. But this way, that is very, very dangerous. When I tell God I can do it, He might just let me do it. He just might let me get my rewards here on earth and not in heaven. He might let me get the praise of men here. You know, I can build a church. I'm a great preacher. I'm a great missionary. You know, missionaries getting this competition thing is really, really dangerous. I feel sorry for missionaries who are in competition with each other. I've heard it so many times. If I've heard it once, I've heard it 100 times. You know, there's not a lot of missionary dollars out there. You better get out there and do. You know. This meeting here today was God's will, and Pastor knows it, how we met. We came here twice on a Friday and a Saturday to listen to David Neese. He invited us to come here. We're staying up in Smyrna there in the mission house and working out of there. And he asked to come to listen to him preach during that youth conference you had, where Brother Baldwin was up here. And so we came and we listened to that. I met your pastor, I shook hands with him, I said howdy, and went on. And that was it. He didn't know we were missionaries. I don't think he did anyway. And I didn't tell him. I want God to move. I want God to work, because there's no reason for me to come here unless God's in it. I'm not in competition with anybody else. God knows the message He put in my heart. He knows what you need. He knows what we need when we need it. So we just trust Him about it. But if I think I can, He won't. It's very, very bad to say that this way. It's very, very dangerous. Let me give you an illustration. You know, as I was growing up, and I grew up in church up in Delaware, I grew up all my life, First Baptist Church in Newcastle. Actually, Brother Wall's back there. Knows that. I was a bus director up there for a while. After I came back from college, I was a bus director, taught Bible there. And it's a lot different place now, though, let me tell you. We visited there after not going 18 years. We visited it during a preacher's conference. I wouldn't go there normally, but we visited there, and it just broke my heart. But we grew up there, and I used to think, you know, that I need to make my life matter. I needed to do something. I needed to make my life matter. And then I realized that I need to let my life matter. There's a big difference, Pastor. Trying to make my life matter instead of letting it matter. Also, there's another thing. I thought it was kind of like a battery. I need to get charged up. You know, have your devotions in the morning, read your Bible, spend extra time with the Lord in the morning, and then you just go out throughout your day, because we live in a hostile world. We live in a world that's going to soak up everything we have. It's going to eat us alive. And I'm still for all that. I'm still for spending a lot of time in the morning. But you know what I realized? I wasn't getting my batteries charged up. I'm not supposed to be like a battery. I'm supposed to be like an extension cord all day long. I still read my Bible in the morning. I still spend time in prayer in the morning. But you know what? I need to stay plugged into Him all day. It's kind of like we were talking about, we were reading. Actually, if you go back into chapter 2 of 1 John, it talks about abiding in Christ. Actually, the verse, I think I've written down here even. It's 1 John chapter 2, verse 6. He that saith he abideth in Him ought himself also so to walk even as He walked. That's not a command, by the way. Sometimes we preach it like a command. It's not a command. If I plug this into the wall, what ought to come out the other side? Huh? Electric, right? There are wires inside of this that if I plug it into an outlet somewhere, wherever, over here, if I plug it into an outlet right there, there's going to be electric coming out this end. It ought to happen. Right? Now this cord can't do anything to make it happen. If I put that cord down there, listen to me, it's profitless. It's useless. That cord can do nothing. You know what Jesus said? He said, without me, ye can do nothing. Now we try to do a whole lot. But without Him, we can do nothing. But you plug this in, and it has been created for this purpose. You and I were created to be plugged into God. That's not it. That's a decision we make on an ongoing basis. Otherwise, we're useless. We're profitless. We allow a lot of things to come into our lives. We allow, you know, if I have a cord, not this one, I don't think. I have a cord that has a little bit of a problem. It's got a short in it. It's got a resistance in there. With resistance comes heat. With heat comes fire. With fire comes damage. And there's not the flow that there ought to be, that there ought to be. You see, when we're plugged into Christ, people will see Christ in us. I don't have to try to be like Christ. I will be like Christ. So when my wife says, what about this or what about that? If I'm plugged into Christ, she's going to see Christ in response. My children, my friends, the world is going to see Christ in us, because when I plug this in, you're going to have electric coming out this side. You saw the house there. We had to change. They had 30-amp service. 30 amps for an American family. 30 amps is heaven for a Tanzanian family, but not for an American family. And they know it. They know it. This lady, she's been pretty educated. Her husband was actually a regional medical doctor, top of the hospital, well known for his pediatrics. And but anyway, we told her, there's not enough electric in this house. We can't do it. We'll change it. Went from 30 to 100 amps. I ran most of the wiring on the bottom, but I had to get an electrician from the electric company to go up in the attic, and he was up there for days. I just hear this banging all around up there going on. You know, I'm like, I hope he's putting it all right up there, because I'm not going to go fix it. He came down the last day, and I said, y'all done? Yep. Is it going to work? Well, I'm talking in Swahili, but the point is, it ought to work. He hooked it up right. Well, it's been working, amen. No fires, no sparks, nothing, you know. I mean, when we threw the switch, I was wondering, you know, I didn't go up there. I don't know. I had to have faith in him. But he works for the electric company. And so if there's any problems, it's his fault. But you know, when he got down, I just figured it ought to work. And you know what? The Bible says, In 1 John 2:6, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. When you yield to Christ, others will see him. They ought to see him. It's what's going to happen. Number two, grace is always sufficient. Again, in our text, 2 Corinthians 12:9, he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. Doesn't say my grace will be sufficient. Doesn't say my grace was sufficient. It doesn't say my grace might be sufficient. Paul, my grace is sufficient. That means anytime, all the time. It's kind of like the air in this room. Nobody came into this room, Pastor, measuring the cubic feet of this room and wondering how much air is in here and wondering if this preacher preaches all the way to 12:30, we're going to have enough air? Not one person in here is thinking about his breathing. You might now, but you weren't. Some of you forgot, actually, and you're about to fall asleep because your breathing just kept going lower, 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 lower. But you get, remember that Lamaze stuff? I did that. I tried to help my wife with Lamaze stuff, you know? Breathe. She goes, get out of this room. Not quite like that, you know. But it was funny because it didn't work for me because I tried to do it. And I mean, she was going through pain, man. It's like, you can stand there telling me to breathe and do this, that, and the other, but you're not me, and I wasn't her, and I'm glad for it. I'm glad I'm a man. Some people think they're not glad to be a man, buddy. Ooh. I am so glad I'm a man. And they're liars, too, because they can never bear a child. Let them bear one child. They won't be having these problems. I'm telling you. My grace is sufficient right now, all the time. You need to breathe, you're breathing. I need to breathe. I'm breathing more air than you are, and I'm doing just fine. We need grace. It's always present, always available. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1, we then as workers together with him beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. Do you know? Thank the Lord it's impossible. There's some kids sometimes tell their parents, well, I'm just going to hold my breath and die. No, you're not. You're going to pass out first. You'll start breathing again. Yeah. I don't know, some smart aleck kid thought that one up. He didn't think it through, though. He woke up probably later, found out he was breathing. But you know what? That's what we do spiritually. We don't realize that his grace is available all the time. It's not maybe he'll give it to you. He's already given it to you. That's powerful. That's powerful. If we don't realize we have something that we have already been given, we have received it in vain. And Paul said, don't receive the grace of God in vain. It's kind of like, I don't get to go there very often. Been there twice, I've eaten there once, and I don't know how many years, that's Five Guys. How many have eaten at Five Guys? So you know what I'm about to say, or about I'm going to talk about. I went in there, and my son, I was getting him a special, those burgers are expensive, but anyway, I went in there, and, you know, he wanted to, we love burgers, because we don't get them there like we get them here, okay? So I was getting him a burger, and we went over there, we were waiting after we ordered, and I saw this box sitting on the countertop full of peanuts, unshelled peanuts, unhulled, I guess, whatever you call it. And they're sitting there. And I thought, I think they're free, but I'm not sure. I was looking around, you know, I don't see any sign. But I went over closer to the box, and, you know, I'm looking around trying to see, you know, free take or whatever, you know what I'm saying? Nothing. But finally, I caught the eye of one of the cooks in the back, and he goes, did you read my list? They're free, right? So I said, yeah! But how many people have gone through the line there at Five Guys and didn't know that they were there free? How many people live their lives and don't realize that God's grace has already been given to us? All the time present, always available. But don't I have to be a good person to get it? You didn't for salvation. and you don't for sanctification either, by the way. The grace of God purifies us and sanctifies us, and we will be holy when the grace of God and when Christ is in us, we will be holy. I'm jumping ahead to number 5 again. Number 3, grace brings salvation and is always accessed by faith. In our second text, Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works. We're saved by grace through what? Faith. We embrace grace by faith, not our efforts, no matter how noble. We don't attract God's grace by our own merits. We didn't do it for salvation. We don't do it for life. We can't merit grace. It's by faith. Faith in Jehovah God is the key that unlocks the mighty power of His grace. Romans 5:2, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that, but listen, I don't know everybody in this room today. So when I say what I'm about to say, you consider what I say and let God open your understanding. But if you have not put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone for salvation, you're not on your way to heaven. But you can be today. You can right now, even before the invitation. But if you still have doubts at the invitation, if you still don't understand the invitation, you can get help. There's tons of people in here, women and men, that can help you. For by grace are ye saved through faith. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's a promise of God. It's not my promise. Jesus said, I am the way. Not I am a way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And it's that way in the Greek as well, okay? You go read it, look it up. There isn't one of many ways. No, and it's not my option. You're pretty narrow-minded. No, I'm not. God is to His glory. Jehovah God. He said so many times in the Old Testament, there's none other than me. What do you think the whole thing about Egypt was about? God proving there's no other God but me. He just knocked out every Egyptian god one after the other. Then He said, okay, you're trusting in your own strength? Hey, I'll take the firstborn son, your strength. He took it all out because He's the only God. Listen, there's only one way to heaven, but it is so simple, so easy. By faith, you accept Him and what He already has done for you. You can do that today. It's awesome. I mean, if I were to die right here, before you even found out I was dead, I'd be in heaven. And you could too. It's not hard. It's not, well, I'm not rich enough. I'm not educated enough. I'm not good enough. None of us are. Amen. Amen. None of us are. I was it when I was a 7-year-old little boy when I put my faith and trust in Christ. During a vacation Bible school, by the way. On a bus. There were so many people in church, in the church building, so many kids. My vacation Bible school teacher, she was a Sunday school superintendent. My teacher took us out on a bus, said, man, it's just too loud in there. Let's go out on a bus. Well, the guy running the vacation Bible school the second day came out, found out we were on the bus, and said, you guys can't be out here. But I praise the Lord, we were out there quiet enough, long enough for me to trust Christ as my Savior on that bus. Thank the Lord for that. Don't be weary in well-doing. Vacation Bible school is a lot of work, but with the grace of God, every single one of us can have a part and do something. With the grace of God and the help of God, I don't care how old you are, how young you are. You young people will be coming to Vacation Bible School. It's about time you prayed for Vacation Bible School. You said, what can I do to help it? What can I let God do through me? Faith in God is the key that unlocks the mighty power of His grace. Number 4, grace is a gift, always freely given. In Swahili, that's our language, by the way, kwamana jinsi Mungu aliupenda ulimwengu hata kumtoa mwanawe pekee ili kila mtu amwaminie asipotee bali awe na uzima wa milele, John 3:16. In Swahili, we have a word for reward, tuzo, and we have a word for gift, Zawadi. And nobody ever says a Tuzo is a Zawadi. And a Zawadi is certainly not a Tuzo. Did you get that? Tuzo and Zawadi, two different words, two different meanings. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians 3:7, wherefore I was made a minister, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this thought, but Paul realized he was made a minister. God did it, but made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Turn with me. You got to see this one. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. I'm not just going to quote this to you. I want you to see this. 2 Timothy 1, 9. You got to see this. I've got underlined and circled and everything all throughout this verse. If you're one to do that, you'll want to underline and circle some words in this verse. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our what? Works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Amen. I was saved and called by the grace of God. I've been enabled by the grace of God. I was a fool when I gloried in anything I did, because it was nothing. Nothing. When we're thinking we make things happen and make life matter for God, we're foolish. We need to let our lives matter for God and let him do it. You know, God sent Philip down to one man. Y'all remember the Ethiopian eunuch? Philip, you need to go down there. There's a man in a chariot. He's coming back from Jerusalem. He's heading home. He's an Ethiopian. And you need to go down there and tell him about me. You know, one man got saved and baptized. You know, people would say, how many did you get saved? First of all, I didn't get anybody saved. Amen. Amen. I appreciate what Pastor said this morning. But you know what? God used Philip to lead one person to Christ according to God's will. Now use Peter one day to preach to 3,000. Amen? And they trusted, well, more than 3,000, but 3,000 of them trusted Christ and got baptized. Amen? That's pretty, so what do? We all run over to Peter and get him to sign the Bible, and we forget about Philip. Maybe you're Philip. Guess what? In heaven, it's not a Peter and Philip. Not in God's eyes. They both were used by God according to God's will, exactly how God wanted. Now, I'm not saying, you know what? There might be a John over here that should be like Peter. He's not letting God do what he ought to be doing. I'm not saying that. That's why we don't judge. That's why we don't judge, because I don't know. Maybe John over here ought to be preaching to 10,000. You know, later on they preached to 5,000. Why do we say Pentecost so much when a couple days later they preached 5,000 got saved? You know? but there's, you know, there's opportunities that they had to preach to 5,000, but there's opportunities they had to preach to one by God's grace. It's all God's will, God's decision. That's why a long time ago, my wife and I, we said, we're not in any competition as missionaries. God will give us the meetings. God will give us the support. You know, God's work done God's way will never lack God's supply. That was said hundreds of years ago, and it's still true today. Number five, and I must hurry. There's plenty of verses I could share with you, but number five, and again, don't miss tonight. We'll talk in this vein of thought, all about the grace of God, but we'll talk about this, and I promise you that God can speak to your heart again tonight. When we allow the grace of God to work in and through us, God gets the glory. Life is not about our recognition for anything. It's about his glory for everything, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do. This is not a trite verse. Whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Why? Because God's doing it through you. We're not going to have a whole lot of decisions to make except for one. God, what are you going to do in and through me? We let the decisions rest on him instead of on us. He's going to get the glory out of it. He's going to do the mighty things. We've got a list. We've got to have the miracles of God in our lives. As missionaries, often we're in the position already that we need God to do it all. So we often get put, you know, I think it was Vance Havner. I don't even know who he is, really. I just know the name. Maybe, I don't know if he's a good guy or a bad guy, but what he said was, God's usually not, well, we sing the song, he's all I need, but he's not usually all we need until he's all we have. As long as we have something, you know, we have a whole lot more of us in us than we want to admit. We have a whole lot more of our own wisdom. We have a whole lot more of our own strength. We have a whole lot. When he just says, okay, yield it to me. Yield it to me. Why? Well, let's look at our text again. The second text, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. Why? Not of works. Why? Lest any man should boast. We see the freedom from the penalty of sin by grace. Why? So that no man can boast and God receives all the glory. But in Colossians chapter 2, verse 6, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. How do we receive him? By grace through faith. So that's how we're supposed to walk, by grace through faith. We have freedom from the power of sin by his grace. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, now thanks be to God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ, and make it manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. You see, as I said earlier, grace purifies and sanctifies us. It does not give us a license to sin, as others would. We've got two different extremes, preacher. We have those that think grace gives us a license to sin, and we have those that think they have to work to sanctify themselves. Listen to me, if Christ is in you, you will be holy. If you let him, yeah, there's going to be electric through that cord. If you're plugged in. If you abide in Christ, you're going to look like Christ. We're going around telling each other we don't spend much time with him because we certainly don't look like him. We don't act like him. We don't talk like him. And I'm not saying go out of here and try to do all these things in your own power. You're going to fail. You're going to get weary in well-doing. We rest and abide in him. Leave it up to him. Leave it to his will. Let me just close with this verse here. Philippians 2:13. I love it. For it is God which worketh in you both to will, that's to want to, and to do of his good pleasure. He doesn't tell us a whole bunch of do's and don'ts in here just to leave us to our own strength. We have the grace of God. From the very day, well, before, but even from the very day you accepted him as your Savior, his grace is available to you for the rest of your life till you meet him one day. Pastor, every head bowed, every eye closed.